very amusing. Your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I gotta tell you, I usually record on the left side of my computer. I'm recording on the right side. I'm wearing all my jewelry, which is definitely coming through, and I'm so sorry. But it's just because I had to get on the mic and tell you that I just recorded the best podcast. It's gonna be out 2 days before you listen to this, but I made it on Magical Moms Podcast. It was so much fun talking to Bridget and Lindsay. We had the best time. And what I loved about it is that when I am on my own podcast, I'm trying very hard to ride this line between talking about theme parks as a parent and talking about theme parks as an individual, because I see it from both perspectives now. I kind of have these two views on it. And I know not everyone here has children and doesn't want to always hear about children. And then also the people who have children also don't always want to be hearing about children. That's just kind of how it is. And we had such a fun time recording it. I was able to talk about stuff there that, like, I'm not going to be making y'all listen to toddler potty discussion here on Very Amusing. That's all I'm going to say. If you don't know what that is, bliss. Like, just truly go with God. Enjoy your life. You don't need to know. And how lovely that is. But it was so fun to, like, dip in, like, really get into it with two expert Disneyland ladies. These girlies know the parks inside and out. Okay, they're there more often than me, and I adore them, and they're also just, like, so sweet, and they're both so beautiful. They're, like, talking to them on a, you know, on a Zoomy thing, like, I didn't take them off. Talking to them, you can, like, see both their faces. I was like, oh my God. I really felt like I was sitting at the popular table at Disney University. It was great. It was great, and I highly recommend it. And this week, we are talking about something that you would think is not very Disney, but good Lord, Macy's is maybe the most incredible company I've ever heard of, and I cannot get enough of it. Now, based on, like, the subject of this podcast, we're going to get into it in the podcast introduction. Do not worry. I'm trying to stop myself from doing all the yelling right now about how excited I am about this, because I'm about to be yelling it at you. It kind of sounds like, oh, Macy's, a brand approached her and she said yes. No way, dude. I begged for this podcast to happen. I begged for it. And that is because I think that we simply need to be talking about Macy's more. We need to be talking about Macy's more, and you're going to agree at the end of this podcast. This is something I have been trying to put together for months and months. It finally happened, and I cannot wait for you to be as amazed as I am. Truly, I have never been more floored in an interview than I was in this one, and you're about to hear that. But we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. I just wanted to say happy almost halfway through the year. Ew, when did that happen? That's wild. But because it is May, that means that I'm going to Disney World in just a couple weeks. I will somehow, wait, let me look at the calendar. In 2 weeks, my tush will be in the seat of a Muppets-themed roller coaster. If you told me that sentence 5 years ago, I think I would have just absolutely frozen on the spot and fallen over like I was an icicle that got broken off. I don't think I would have been able to handle a sentence like that, but I'm ready. I'm never going to be ready for a Muppets coaster. A Muppets coaster? I can't wait. I'm truly, that's like all I'm going to be talking about until then. But in the meantime, we do have to talk about how truly sick of a company Macy's is. There's so much to share with you. I thought I knew what the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was. Turns out, I knew nothing, and we are all about to go on a journey of glorious learning and enlightenment and truly, like, balloon law. Get excited. It's going to be great. Stick around. This honestly may be my favorite episode of all time. I'm just telling you that right now. I know I like to set expectations, but, like, it's the best. Stick around. It's wonderful. See you on the other side. Welcome home. Are you a little sad to be off the Disney adventure? Because it looked amazing.
I was back to back, and it's the first time I ever thought I need to do back to back to back and possibly to back.
Wait, you did two of them?
We did. We did a 3-day and then the 4-day, because, again, adventure, huge ship, absolutely amazing, tons of stuff to do on board, all the characters and the shopping and just how big it is and the shows. Oh my gosh. I think I actually experienced the best dinner show I have ever seen on Disney Cruise Line, Hollywood Spotlight. It's set up like old 30s, 40s glam inside.
No!
And they have musicians, and then the characters come in. And then they go to tables.
So multiple characters?
Multiple characters.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you made it back and that you are at least awake enough to tell us about these major discounts, because I saw the news before we talked, and I couldn't wait to talk to you. Tell us everything about these Disney Cruise Line discounts.
Yeah, do you remember the last discount that came out? And I said, they've never done this before, and it's one of the best deals ever. Now we have kids sale 50% off the voyage fare. If you book by June 14th, so it's you got some time here, you get 50% off the voyage fare for up to three kids, ages, you know, because normally it's you know, 3 to 9. This is up to age 17 on select sailings with the purchase of two full fare guests in the same cabin. So if you have two adults that are paying full fare, you get up to three kids at 50% off. And that's available on select sailings and ships from October 1st, 26 to March 27th, 2027. I've seen them available on every ship except for the Adventure. There's not a better time to sail with DCL, especially because they are still running. All right, for those of us who don't have kids, they're still running that 25% off voyage fare for select sailings between April 2026 now and July. But you get that 25 or 20% off and up to 250 onboard credit at the same time. So if you've ever wanted to do a Disney cruise, now's the time to do it. And there's also, outside of these offers, you can find really great savings on sailings from San Diego and even Alaska. So if you were ever interested in doing Alaska and it's not part of these offers, they are still lower than they've ever been before.
Wow. Wow. And remember, crazy. Reaching out to Mousefan Travel is the best way to book this, because I say that as somebody who books cruises with Mousefan Travel, because parsing through these on your own is so annoying. You do not want to do it. Trust me. And so to have a professional who can really tell you which deal is best for you and how to save the most money is so helpful. And it costs you nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Thank you so much, Becky. I can't wait to hear what other deals you have later on in the show. Welcome back. Today, we are talking to Brendan Kennedy, director of creative production, music, and talent for Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, 4th of July fireworks, flower show, and so much more. And we've covered a lot of things in our How Things Work series, but this one has been brewing since literally the week after Macy's 99th annual Thanksgiving Day Parade last year. Brendan was on Threads and was just kind of letting people know some tidbits about how this parade comes together. I saw these posts and I went, yeah, we're gonna need a podcast episode about all of this. And guys, after 5 months of back and forth with the absolutely lovely communications team at Macy's Inc., truly, they were a dream to work with. Prepare for your minds to be blown. I mean, I'm not gonna spoil it at the top, but I had my hands over my mouth almost this entire recording just to keep me from shrieking. Because when you say Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, an image suddenly comes to mind. Perhaps it's a beloved character, slowly traipsing through the streets of Manhattan. Maybe it's one of those live singers and dancers in marching bands, or afloat, live in New York, dancers dancing on as you peel sweet potatoes and cautiously avoid the kitchen where all the Thanksgiving action is happening. But I realized that in sharing today's podcast, Macy's is providing so much more than just a backdrop to our national holidays, an annual must-see televised events. Guys, Macy's is low-key a theme parky and entertainment company that, like, also has some department stores. They are putting in an unfathomable amount of work all year round, purely so that you and I can just smile in November. That's it! That's all they're doing it for! And I know it took a lot of work to get this parade made, but holy cow! We as a culture are sleeping on Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and everything else they do. Why are we acting like it's normal that Snoopy is flying down the streets of New York City? That if you look up on a certain day at a certain time in Midtown Manhattan, you'll see Minnie Mouse in the freaking sky. It's not normal. It is extraordinary. And we need to be putting our energy behind this event more. We as theme park people really need to be praising this for what it is. We spoke to Brendan on kind of the eve of the 50th 4th of July fireworks and 100th Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which is both happening later this year. And I'm so glad we did, because I'm coming to these events with a renewed sense of how gosh darn maniacal it is that they have this level of production just beamed into our devices every year like clockwork. We just expect it. We maybe even take it for granted, and it is time that we start appreciating it for how magical it really is. Did you ever think about how government agencies need to sign off on these designs? I didn't. Did you ever think about the level of weather clearance they need to pull this off? Neither did I. You're going to hear some wild stories about both of those in today's episode, and I straight up basically didn't cut anything, thing. I just let him talk because everything he said blew my mind. I honestly don't think I've ever ran out of time with so many more questions to ask because it truly is that fascinating what he and his team does. And I'm so proud and delighted to bring this episode to you. Because again, I want to reiterate, it's not just him. So many people build and craft and toil and imagine and design and choreograph and perform and costume and think about every aspect of these performances. And Brandon is but one speaking on behalf of many. Sidebar, I'm also so charmed that they call it parade, not the parade or our parade, just parade. You'll catch it. It's very fun. Okay, and double sidebar, just friend to friend. The Macy's merch for the Thanksgiving Day Parade cannot be slept on. It is so good. I bought so much of it this year, even before this podcast was happening, before it was a glimmer in my eye. I'm looking down right now. I'm holding it. I'm shaking it, even though you can't see me. I have a notebook that is my go-to notebook. My life is inside of it. And it's just, it's like Mickey and Minnie, and it looks like they are balloons. And it was made for Macy's. It's like a Disney Macy's collab. Do not sleep on the merch. There will be, I mean, for the 100th, I can't even imagine what they're going to do. But I know that I'm going to end up buying a lot of it because it's so good. Anyway, good shopping plug aside, this one's a doozy and I cannot wait to share it with you. So here is How Things Work, Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Brendan, welcome to Very Amusing.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I am so excited to have you here. Truly, since the first time I saw you post on Threads, I was like, we are going to need you to be a podcast guest because I feel like everything you do is something that myself and my audience is fascinated by. Absolutely fascinated by. How did you end up at Macy's in the first place?
Luck and a bit of determination. I was in media for over 20 years. I worked at MTV. I did everything from like TRL to Teen Mom. And made it to, Vice for 7+ years on a TV show called Vice News Tonight on HBO. I headed up culture reporting there. Somewhere along the way, I dated Martha Stewart on television as a bit.
I need to know a little more about that.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell you a quick story. So me and my friends, we were going to see a Tyler Perry production. This was kind of before he had all these studios. And we were just having a laugh, going to Madison Square Garden. We stopped at a pizza place called Co. And a woman turned to us and just like out of the peripheral of the eye was just like pink Chanel suit. And it was Martha Stewart asking if we could fix her ringtone. She wanted a very specific ringtone. We grabbed her phone and we started talking to her about her pets. I was working on a TV show called When I Was 17. And I was like, Martha, when you were 17, you were a supermodel. Will you come on my show? And she said, absolutely not. And then, you know, weeks later, I was on her show with my friend and we started pitching her ideas where we would take her to lowbrow places and she would take us to highbrow places. So we dated her for a bit. It was a blast. She is an incredible, amazing human being.
Oh my God. Your path to Macy's is absolutely bonkers to me. Also, someone who has TRL energy explains so much of the creativity that you are bringing to this job. And I know it's a team, but I'm here with you today. And I just got to say, you've done a fantastic job with this.
Thank you.
I just feel like in general, I feel like we're all kind of taking Macy's in general for granted. It is wild that and we have multiple holidays, multiple tentpole celebrations throughout the year. But every Thanksgiving, we're like, oh, just turn on the TV so we can see those gigantic balloons fly through the streets of New York City. We just take it for granted. Like, it's something that happens automatically without thought. And there are so many people working so hard to make that dream come true and to actually, I mean, if I may say so myself, to improve upon it each and every year. And it's just so exciting.
Well, you nailed it on the head. That's the fun, is we're always trying to, like, do bigger and better than ever, right? So I think people don't realize that at Macy's, it's always celebrating, right? We're like kicking off a year, first of all, of celebration right now that's of epic proportion. So we just launched our 51st flower show. We have our 50th fireworks and our 100th parade. So to even quantify that in numbers, that's like so much joy and happiness and fun. But I still think a lot of folks have no idea that we do anything but slap our name on it. Like, I don't think people realize that for the fireworks, we develop a score. So all of the music you hear is like scored by us. Like, we work with people to create the fun entertainment there. But then every single firework, upwards of 80,000 pyrotechnics are synchronized to every single beat of that music, right? Last year, we took over the Brooklyn Bridge and did projection mapping over it. So like, we are as much of a tech production company as the next big one. I think people just think that we just show up and put our name on it, especially with the parade. A lot of folks do not know that we build all of the balloons in-house and we build all the floats in-house. So this all starts with, you know, a pen or an iPad, and we start with a concept, an idea, a sketch, and we work with our partners to create something that will break through, right? Whether or not it's the littlest float with goldfish and creating just like the tiniest float ever in parade history, or putting two giant inflatable Labubus and like breaking records of like, what is a fuzzy balloon like? And so, but again, most people think balloon fly through sky, which like I'm a-okay with. It is just pure nostalgia, magic, entertainment for people. It takes a lot. And they probably don't know that we're monitoring every single piece of wind in the city, and that we work with our partners in government agencies to make sure that like everything flies to specific codes, and we do wind tunnel testing and all sorts of really specific sciencey, geeky stuff. Or then that it's even hand painted. I think a lot of people don't know that like balloons are painted, and they're like, what does that mean? They're like, well, that's proprietary. I can't really tell you like how balloon paint works, but it works. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just a piece of fabric that gets very similar to like, so I knit and crochet on, if you see me on Threads or other places, I'll be working very much in patterns. And right now I'm working on like a cable sweater for the first time ever. And I think a lot about construction, but how a balloon works, right? It's just similar to how your t-shirt is made. There's a pattern that's cut out. It's seamed together for a balloon. It's heat seamed together so that there's no holes. And then our amazing team at Macy Studios, they're engineers, painters, balloon builders. They put it all together. It gets ready for inflation. It gets wind tunnel tested, but it gets tested out first at an undisclosed location. We test them like just indoors, and then very large location, like imagine something very big. And then we test them out in the sky for the first time at a thing called Balloon Fest, which is very fun for us, but it is actually very much for city government agencies to check out the balloons flying for the first time, make sure that they're all good to go. And then we get ready for parade day. But they, you know, I think even if I got into the, what does it take to plan out every single person marching in parade, you know, it's upwards, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It's like 850 clowns. It's so many things that we have to figure out how all those people all fit together. And it all makes sense. It is a hodgepodge of pop culture that I love to think of as the yearbook, right? It's the like, can you sign my yearbook with like the coolest thing, like the funniest viral dance? Can you sneak in some other Easter egg that way? But definitely trying to tell a narrative story, whether it be through color or, hey, that's a fire dog. Can we put the fireman after that dog? You know, like very simple things that we, it's a lot.
Brendan, I gotta tell you, I have been reporting for almost 2 decades. I have never had more follow-up questions in my entire life. Well, then after hearing about government agencies and wind tunnel testing and just the order of the parade. So I got to take it back to the beginning because this is maybe the most fascinating interview we've ever done. Okay. So when you are starting to work on something like the 100th version of this, in terms of the timeline, do you start ideating and then you start discussing to brands? Are brands top of mind and then you start pitching things out? How does that work at the very early stages?
So I think we like to say it takes 18 months to plan a parade. I would say it's longer. I would say specifically for the 100th, I only got to parade in like April of 24. And the first day they were like, and then you have to plan the 100th. And I was like, oh, right. And I didn't know what that meant until I was like working with literally everybody on my team constantly to, and all the teams across Macy Studios, to figure out how do we make this bigger and better, right? So we have limitations to what we can produce based on pure street space. So you, what you can fit into the street, that's, I'm already up against it. It's like, it feels like, oh, you're starting fresh and it's all brand new. And it's like, yes, but how do we make it bigger? And it's like, we just outdid ourselves. We're like, how do you do the biggest thing ever? So it all starts with little ideas and big ideas, and like chipping away at the big idea throughout the year, because you know it takes chatting with every single team, whether that's like engineers, sculptors, whatever, to see, can we pull this idea off? So some stuff I cannot talk about that we're working on for this year, I don't know if it will happen based on purely like, we have to work with the city to be like, can I please do something in wild? Like, you know, it's like, it's never been done before. And it's like, everybody loves, people love to go back and watch the pilot afterwards, but nobody wants to participate in the pilot. I did a lot of development work over life, right? And nobody really cares that it was ever like a period of time which you didn't know what it was. So we consistently have to be like, this is a new thing. You've never seen it. It's never been done. How do you explain that to someone? And then be like, also it'll be safe and amazing. And the biggest, you just have to sell and you have to get people invested. So whether or not that's with some concept art, or just like pure storytelling. I think we're just trying to bring everybody with us. So I'm inviting you with me to be like, how do we make the best parade ever? Like, what happens in your brain when I ask that? Like, what's like the number one thing you want? And then we just chip away at it. And honestly, there's a lot of just amazing humans. There's a lot of institutional knowledge here. People have been working in parades forever. One of the most amazing women that I know, Kimberly Montgomery, she has been over 26 parades. She heads up the costume operations team. She dresses or works with the team of a lot of folks to dress more than 4,500 people on parade morning, right? At various spots that prepare and get ready for parade day. So there's a lot of costumes we have to take care of. She's been here so long. She has such amazing knowledge. She's been through so much. And she was like a Broadway performer. And she can bring some of that energy into storytelling that way. So it's like checking in with the team and being like, what do you see as the big number one thing? And then moving towards that. And I can only speak to pure examples from last year. I think we really lucked out in the pop culture realm, because I think I know what you're getting at with the K-pop Demon Hunters of it all, or Labubu or whatever. I think I have never taken my eyes off of the screen to see what's going on in culture. So I will always call it out. It will always be a thing. So whether it was back in the day when I had maybe a Sidekick phone and I was running down the street trying to get brown bread for Beyonce for TRL, or if it's like the current day now where I have to like maybe wake up a little bit earlier and scroll a bunch of like TikToks and be like, cyber decks. I don't know if I can bring that into the story this year, but currently really into the ladies of TikTok, like building up cyber decks for, you know, the end of the world computing or whatever. I don't know. It's just like lots of different pop culture things that you try to.
Like viewing the world through the lens of parade.
Yeah. Every day. Every day is like, how do you have something for everyone? And, you know, it's, again, I will say this for the entirety of the thing. I am one person talking to you on this call.
Yes,
there are so many people that I work with that are like amazing, brilliant voices. And I am consistently trying to raise them up in ways that maybe in my past, I wouldn't have had that lane. And I'm just trying to be like, what's cool for you? What's good for you? How do we celebrate a diverse range of humans in parade? It's for everyone. And honestly, it all started with colleagues, employees at Macy's, right? It started 1924, a bunch of colleagues got together and were like, let's celebrate like we used to in the old country. And then what was that old country? It was all of them. And then they walked down the street with a bunch of animals. And then people were like, a few years later, were like, maybe animals are scary. And what can we do there?
Made them look like they were just floating down the street?
Yeah. So how that worked, there was a man named Tony Sarg. He is considered the godfather of American puppetry. He was really famous for his marionettes. He was brought on by R.H. Macy to do the windows in 1923. And it was like a parade of puppetry. So fun, whatever. When they had to figure out how do you fix a problem like scary animals, or animals are like from the Central Park Zoo are scaring the children, it's like, what do you do? So he took his marionettes and then flipped them upside down. By 1928, they had helium. They were flying through the sky and they were these amazing puppets. And that is a legacy I think very few people know about, like even within my own system here, but like it goes Tony Sarg, then you have Bill Baird. These are just names, but eventually you get down to the Jim Hensons of the world. So like you basically, through the world of puppetry, you don't have the Muppets, whatever, if you don't have somebody like a Tony Sarg creating these amazing giant inflatables, which I'm lucky enough to get to work on. Like it's, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Bart Simpson goes, or is it Bart goes into Mad Magazine?
I'm not much of a Simpsons head.
Don't worry about it. If somebody is listening, there's at some point he opens the door and it's just like the kookiest place you've ever seen. There's just like people popping out everywhere doing all sorts of things. My first day of work, I showed up and I opened the door and I was staring the Green Giant in the face, like just a massive Green Giant, because we're constantly refurbishing all the floats, right? There's like all the floats take some wear and tear, and the amazing team at the studio have to like take them back to the parade studio and take care of them and do whatever. Have I ever gotten into like what it takes to build a float? This is so fun.
The way in which my jaw is unhinged and on the floor from every word you're saying. I would love to talk to you about kind of like the technology and the government and the science of it all, because that's something I don't think a lot of people are thinking about when they're watching this on television or if they're lucky enough to see it in person. But let's start with technology. How has balloon technology and float technology changed in the past few years that you've been there? I know you mentioned for the 4th of July, you've done projection mapping, which is much more widely available than it has been before. Kind of what do you see as the future, both near and far, of an event like this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I will say, I don't think anybody's projection mapped an entire bridge before. That was like, that was one of the most wild, like we had all the lenses. We had every single lens, I think, available possible to be able to shoot that throw direction. So I'm obsessed with watching movies at home and watching them on a projector. And to say that we like from Pier 17 were projection mapping onto a giant bridge that's been around since forever, it's a very cool thing and different, interesting technology. For parade, I think we're always trying to one-up the gags on floats. So let's say there's an example, there's a brand called Rao's. They make delicious sauces and pastas. We had the idea to create a pasta night. So I don't know if you grew up with a pasta night. That's when you have pasta on a certain night, blah, blah, blah. It's pasta night. But we have a literal pasta night that's built out of pasta. His name is Al Dente, and he rides a rigatoni pony, and he's fighting Arrabbiata, the like fire-breathing dragon. And I was like, no, no, for real, fire-breathing. And they were like, ha ha, that's funny. I've been trying to do that my whole life. And I was like, no, no, we're doing it. So we worked for 6 months. Everybody was on board. We worked with the FDNY, like city officials, everything.
Worked with the FDNY. I mean, a lot of us are theme park people, so we're used to all of this happening on private property. We are not used to the fire department of New York City consulting on it.
Oh yeah, it's lit. We get to shut down New York. It is amazing. Like it's very, very cool that nobody gets to do this. It's very odd. And so, yes, shooting fire out in the middle of the New York City streets is not normal. And then specifically doing it out of a pasta dragon is very silly and whatever. So we had to make sure first, like, will it burn down the dragon? Like, how do we do the internal structure of that? The engineers came up with this amazing build. We worked with a pyrotechnic vendor that created the effect of the flames that would shoot out of the dragon. And we got to parade day. This was 2024. And then there was a fire ban in New York City. And it was also pouring rain. So we were unable to have the fire-breathing dragon. The city was like, no, no, we can't. We need approximately 8 inches of rain. It, I think, all fell on the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that put on the parade that day. It was a wild day. And I could talk to you forever about having to dry out all the balloons, because like I said, they're hand painted. So you would think that we went home that day and just like ate turkey. I mean, I did, but then the next day I woke up, we inflated every single balloon in New Jersey, and then had to dry them out for a few days. A cool story is that we had to cut every single line. A tie line is what's on a balloon. There's up to 100 or so for a giant balloon. So 100 handlers, and they all they're all attached to a thing called a bone, right? And so it's like a little H, it looks like a little dog bone. That's all you need to know. That's what like balloon handlers hold on to. And so we had to cut every single handing line so that we could dry them out. we're drying out the balloons, and then we also had to dry out every single handling line. So we have a storage facility where we literally laid them all out. So just thousands of dry lines to dry. And I will tell you, it was very tedious. It took the entire weekend to do all of this stuff to make sure that the, you know, paint wouldn't get ruined, so that it wouldn't get dried, cracked, destroyed, because it's a lot of work that goes into all these things. And by the third day, the team, talk about innovation, they created a machine that would wind up the bones to wind up the tie lines, because we were doing it all by hand twisting. You can't see me right now, but I'm twisting my hands back and forth manically, trying to think about thousands of lines and drying them.
You can't
see
me right now, but I'm fully gagged. That's crazy.
But they created this machine just because they were like, we have to do that. So it all goes back to the amazing artisans that we work with. So it's so many amazing people. So the animators, they figure out how different parts on the float can like move. Or so last year, the animators figured out this, like, I don't know if it's one of the largest Kinetic sculptures in the world, but I would say definitely the largest ever in parade history. So for Holland America, our partners at Holland America, we created this giant wave. They're really into Alaska and sustainability of fishing. And we wanted to create this like magnetizing moment of movement. And so we had this huge Kinetic sculpture, and just like, you see little things on YouTube where it's like somebody cranking a little toy that makes it move and spin. But when you're talking about something that's 30 feet long and 18 feet wide, it's like, how do you do that? And how do you make sure it works? And then also, just to let you know, New York City is not a flat, like, perfect, like, park ready place to drive. We have a parade, right? We work on a parade at Universal, the Universal Holiday Parade.
Yes. Yes. And that I've seen, like, it is fantastic.
So the balloons can't fly if it's raining. You know, like, certain things can't happen if it's raining, or, you know, certain floats can't move if it's, because they're all self-driving units. And ours are towed by Ram trucks. It's a bumpy road. There's a bunch of people on it. If you've ever gotten to be on a float, it is a very wild ride. And so just thinking about all these things, like, anything could dislodge at any moment. They have to think of so many things. And so we make everything in New Jersey, right? And this is fun. I get to talk about what it takes to make a float. It all starts with a concept sketch, a drawing, and we work through it with our partners. Everybody gets on board. We're like, wow, this is the best thing ever. We're creating a 360-degree rolling stage. It has to be for the 3.5 million people on the street and the 35 million plus at home that are watching, right? It has to be fun and exciting. They get the story in 3 minutes, three seconds, not 3 minutes. But then on 34th Street, it stops and we do a performance. We can get into that later. But these things can be three stories tall, and they're built in New Jersey, and then they have to get to New York City. So we have to build everything to that scale, right? 30 feet, whatever. They all range, but approximately 30 feet long, 18 feet wide. So they have to pack up to about the size of a school bus so that it can get through the Lincoln Tunnel and get ready for parade day. So a couple of days before the parade, overnight, in the dark of night, a convoy of over 70 plus units rides through New York City. It rides hard for New York City and rides and gets prepared. And the crew at Macy's Studios puts everything together. So there's cranes lining the blocks on Central Park West, and they build up every float. It's so much going on. And like I said, if we're in the, I think I, you know, if we're in the like 30, around 30 floats, that's all to say there's another 18 balloons, there's another, and there's other stuff we make up and build. So technology is fun. We get to make up all sorts of stuff. We have cool things called like a tricaloon. That's like a tandem tricycle that has a huge inflatable on the back that rides through the streets with like a person powered, but it's basically meant to be like a balloon is also riding the tandem tricycle. Very fun. When I first got here, we got to work on one called Lox and Java, and it's quite simply a bagel with a schmear and a salmon hair bow and a coffee cup with like a coffee hair flip. Very cute, very silly, very like New York breakfast. Yeah. And we created like two inflatable pigeons that just like followed them along. A very silly thing.
My mind is blown. This is so much work. This is so crazy.
It's amazing.
This is crazy. Okay, I'm obsessed with this. There's a lot of philosophies out there telling you how you should pack for a trip. Ooh, a capsule wardrobe. Ooh, patterns that function as basics. No, no, I am done with people telling me what to wear because I'm doubling down on a new kind of travel philosophy. I'm just gonna wear whatever I love wearing at the moment. Is my suitcase a little chaotic? Maybe to an outsider, but I am blissfully happy once I get to my destination because I have the wacky dress, the unexpectedly fancy outfit, and the casual comfies I crave when I crave them. And there is nowhere else I need to go to make those looks possible but Quince. No matter what you're looking for, Quince has the essential pieces to make your wardrobe sing. The fabrics are elevated, the fits are flattering, and everything works without overthinking it. I love Quince because, well, first of all, they're using incredible premium materials, and by cutting out the middleman, you're paying 50 to 80% less than similar brands at a price point that just feels right, all without sacrificing quality. The most versatile item I own and the most used item in my wardrobe is, as you know, my Quince bike shorts. I wore them with a cropped t-shirt when I was on my recent Dollywood trip. I also wore them with an oversized black sweater and felt very classy to have this like black on black, like chic, off-duty look. They truly took me from tourist attractions to Buc-ee's to the airport. But I also dress them up with like a little cutie tunic on top when I'm on a beach vacation or under a shorter dress to make a dress work with flats if that's all you got in your suitcase. I truly believe every piece at Quince can be that item that makes your whole wardrobe make sense. And wearing whatever I love at the moment just always seems to include something from Quince. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use by heading to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. In terms of weather, how do you prepare for that and how do you kind of work around that? Like, are you looking at the forecast a week out being like, oh, Lord, no? Like, what is the mentality leading up to it and how do you work in advance to prepare for something like that?
I think it starts so much longer out and I think it's all very silly.
Oh, you're not going to weather.com?
We do have some folks that work with us specifically on the weather and up to the minute, like where patterns are moving. We have to take care of a lot of people. And so not only, like I talked about drying out balloons, we had to dry out all those costumes that I mentioned so that they didn't become disgusted. We are not just throwing everything out at the end of parade. We like to reuse, reduce, and recycle things all the time. I think from the minute, I mean, one of the earliest notions of that is in Miracle on 34th Street, you know, when she turns to her mom, she's like, that was a clown last year, or whatever. That was a baseball player. You know, it's like, that's like, I think that was a clown last year and now it's a baseball player. But we do that all the time. We're always trying to come up with like, how can we reuse this thing? So we don't want it to get ruined. So like an HVAC system was brought in. And again, crediting that woman, Kimberly Montgomery, for having the foresight to do it. She was like, it's going to rain. And I was like, okay, what are we doing? And so we had to find like plan, like, where are we drying out everything? Where's whatever? We have to take care of all the individual people that are coming down the parade route and performing. We have to check in with them to make sure they're okay. So like a lot of this is about consent. It's like, are you good to go? Do you want to roller skate? It's pouring. And that, cause like, it's not on us at some point. It's like, it becomes that more stilt walker. We work with, I would think the majority of stilt walkers in the United States. Dates, like, just like if you're like, if you need one, I got one. It's like we have like the Rolodex is quite literally the funniest place on earth.
Wait, what's okay, real quick, what is the funniest contact you have, if you can think of one? One that's goofier than just any stilt walker.
I mean, it's confetti. Like, it's just like,
yes, you got a confetti person.
I have the confetti person. I mean, I feel like we shoot off so much confetti in the sky and just like so much of it. So honestly, this year we're working on a project within Macy's so that you can hop into Macy's and like write a little message of what you're celebrating for the year. And then we're going to poof that out at parade as confetti. So like, I think that's Yeah, so I went to Vision. So we have two flower shows, right? We have a flower show pop-up in Chicago, and I got to visit there. And there's like a big wall of like stuff already of people like coming in and like writing like who they're celebrating, like what they're doing. And that is like so much fun. But yeah, confetti people, we have the ones, and we shoot a lot of confetti. I mean, like the biggest star in the world comes to our parade. His name is Santa Claus, and he ends up parading the biggest wave. I mean, last year it was a tundra. It was, we just never stopped trying the technology on like, you know, what paperweight, like, or what material or what color, what goes with this, like every scene that we have, be it, you know, a magical Christmas performance, closer to the end of parade, we do like, is it red or green? Is it like a poly, you know, go through like the technology of whatever paper it is. And then you're saying like, what moments during the song does it go off to like hit, will it hit on camera? Like working with our peers at NBC and working through every single moment. There's a lot of choreography besides even the choreography. Cause we have, you know, our own Macy's house dancers, and they basically like inflate, because that's a trick I'll tell you, that we never say blow up a parade, we say inflate. So like, because you know, you wouldn't want that to happen. So
yeah,
there you go. So we inflate the performances in different ways, and we like to bring in performance groups. So folks around New York City, all sorts of crews, be it like younger, like amateur groups, or the Rangerettes from Texas or whatever, you know, do you need a line? You know, what do we need here? Do we need a line dance? Do we need like, what's the type of thing that's going to make this the best possible experience for people at home? Is what we go
for. How do you plot that out? Is it like pre-visualization, like with film, or how are you looking at the parade as a whole, like the floats and the blue, like everything? How do you plan that out?
Yeah, so the lineup or the line of march, we work with a team, and we start, I think I got to this a little bit earlier, but basically, so Tom Turkey is a very famous float here at Macy's Studio. So if you've never seen him, he's been in the parade since, I think, 1973, was designed by Manfred Bass, who is just like a legendary carpenter, designer, everything person, but is a basically a puppet float. Is a big turkey. It's got silly eyes. It's got big flapping wings. And it's run by three women on the inside. Just letting you know, the same women since the 1990s. Yeah, they're amazing. They're so cool. But they've been doing like the puppetry on the inside. So it all starts with Tom Turkey and it ends with Santa Claus. So we can start there, right? Technically, we have the NYPD that like rides us through on motorcycles, and we have some other things going on, but we know that we have to start uptown, get downtown, very basic. And technology, I will, you know, that we track every single movement of all of those things. That is one thing that on parade day, we can see literally where everything is at every second. But when we start, it all begins with what story are we trying to tell? Like, what's the newest, hypest, coolest, prettiest balloon? What should lead the storytelling that time? It's like probably some Macy stars, a simple, mostly forgot about like balloon, or just like Macy stars. It's very like cute, whimsy, has our logo on it. And then we like to partner that with iconic balloon. And then you start from there. It's like, okay, well, what are they wearing? What's the vibe? What are they doing? What's their thing? And it's like, who should we put with that? It's like, maybe this float works here. And it's like, maybe I'll be honest that, you know, Sesame Street kind of comes through early because there's some younger folks on the float. Like, we want to take care of people too. It's like, what if they have to pee? Like, they have to get through a little
so
bit.
Real. Yeah, so real. So real.
I'm always thinking about who the humans are on the float and like, you know, how long have they been on there and what conditions do they have to ride through? I've never learned so much as to, so working with 4,500 costumes, the term underdressing for us just really means like, not did you wear too little, but like, how much stuff can I put underneath the costume so that you're wearing like Uniqlo Heattech or, you know, Shout Out, whatever, something like amazing to keep you warm when it's very, very cold outside. So marching bands, there's 10 to 12 of them. We have to place them. So we talk with them throughout the 18 months that they're fundraising to get here. So the band selection happens, you know, 2 years out approximately. and or up to 2 years out. And for 18 months, they're working on what they want to do. And so they come to us. Maybe they have specialties. Maybe we talk with them. We think what would fit well with you is here. And let's say there's 250 members and there's, you know, an auxiliary. You work with everything to go on that storytelling. And so you're like, oh, this works here. Or that's holiday. Push it to the back. Or this balloon works here, or this group, or what do we need? And then, like you asked, we're constantly trying to outdo ourselves. So we're like, what have we seen recently? What is out in the world? What haven't we ever seen at parade? How do we fit something new in? And then I am called like I'm bringing up bones a lot, like a dog with a bone. Oh, yeah. That I
thought
like
you meant the show bones. Like I got really excited. No.
Amazing shout out. If I like something, I will gnaw at that bone until it's there on parade day. So like, you got to get people excited, right? And you got to be like, hey, join up. Like, you got to get them into it and be like, don't you love this bone? Isn't this the coolest thing ever? Don't you wish you were put your name on this bone? I will give you a real example of that. K-pop Demon Hunters legitimately was just watching the world in flames. And I think somewhere June, July, this movie comes out and then it starts popping up on like international playlists. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like, what a bop. This is so fun. I watched a cartoon and was like, this movie rips. This is so cool. And then my sister is like, I'm in a group chat with all the moms and we're all fighting over whether or not we got tickets to a sing-along of this thing. And I was like, for real? And then coworker, same thing, was just like, I bought 17 tickets to the sing-along of this thing. And I basically turned to talent folks and my friends here and was just like, have you watched this? And like, can we talk to everybody about K-pop right now? And I was just like, K-pop summer, it's K-pop summer. And we started calling up people. And it started with like Rayami and a few other people. They weren't even a group at that point. And we are close with the people at Netflix. And we were working on, I can talk about all these things. Great. We're working on like a giant 8.5 foot Demogorgon puppet for Stranger Things, for that float, which was, I mean, massive, its own undertaking. I could talk about that for a solid hour. But we were working on that. And at some point, our friends on the partnership team talked to them and they were like, oh, would you ever consider something with K-pop Demon Hunters? And I swear, like, just rallied the whole team and was just like, we have to do a thing, which ended up being like, we'll do a last minute balloon with Derpy. We'll do a balloonicle. A balloonicle is a self-driving balloon. It's an inflatable unit on a something that can drive itself. So we created a balloonicle of Sussy the magpie, which is a bird on a flower pot. So in the film K-pop Demon Hunters, the Derpy the tiger constantly knocks over this one flower pot and has a obsessive need to fix it and set it up right and straight. So we thought nothing funnier than to tip the pot and have the magpie tipping the pot so that Derpy chases the tipping pot down the parade route. And so that was our storytelling. It all started there. And then it was like, but we want this performance, but we want these women to portray the animated characters that they are. We need to sing like the number one song of the year. And we just kept like picking up people all over the place. Like by the end of last year, I had many conversations in Korea, China and Japan based on like what pop thing you're talking about. And like talking to folks in Korea about choreography was like definitely not something on my bucket list, but was very, very cool. Because we wanted to make sure it was kept authentic, right? That it wasn't just like me coming up with a silly dance move, that it was like very much in the for the movie by the people, you know, the whole thing.
Wow. Yeah. What is the timeline like for a last minute balloonicle?
There's no timeline. We just made it up.
The timeline is like, make it.
It was like, again, it comes down to that thing like that I talked about, which is like street space. Can we physically, like, do we have the physical area for the balloon itself? Can we get all the people, if we weren't planning on having all those people carry the balloon across? Well, we need those volunteers, right? We need to make sure that they're trained. Every balloon handler is not just a random employee, but like a colleague. They've all undergone like a test, and they've all like done trainings throughout the spring and the summer so that they can make sure that they know what they're doing. Like, they have to pay attention. There's pilots, there's all sorts of things that have to happen when you're piloting and flying a balloon down the street. So we have to make sure those people are not just like, hey, grab six of your friends, we're gonna have like a party. You know, this is a huge thing flying down the streets of New York City. We have to make sure that everybody's safe and good. So even that was like our operations team, who really do a lot of the groundwork with the city. They're the ones talking to the agencies. They're the ones making sure that every crosswalk has the poles twisted the opposite direction so that we don't walk into them. They're the ones who make sure that we are all set with all the streets that we're using for inflation, for deflation, for that balloon fest that I talked about, where we're working with the city to make sure everything's all good. They are the true logistics on the ground team that keep us running there. And then, of course, we have the team that works on our production management. They're like, what do you mean you want to do another balloon? Like, you know, it's like, what kind of like hoops do we have to jump through to make sure that that's all okay, that we can get it there on time? And then, of course, we're working, you know, with our friends at Netflix and all sorts of like people all over the world to make sure that everybody's happy with what we're doing.
Oh, my God. Okay. I know we have to go soon. I could talk to you for 9 straight hours and never be bored. But there's one thing that's just sticking out in my brain I have to loop back on, which is the wind tunnel. Talk to me about testing these balloons in a wind tunnel, something I never knew was part of this.
Yeah, so it's as much as I can get away with, I will say it's not traditionally like a physical wind tunnel with giant balloon inside doing things. We have to make sure the balloon works itself. So we're talking about, it's more of a fluid simulation. So we work with everything, concept artists that are on my team, they put together, like, it starts with a rough sketch, but they all have to know how to 3D model everything. And then it has to become a solid that is then tested in fluid. So like, how much lift does this balloon have? Does it create deadlift? Does it create, does it gonna fly a certain way if the wind comes a certain direction? So it gets tested at all ends. And this is very recent in parade history that happened within my time here, that we are testing all of this stuff. And it has been really beneficial to creating like the most optimal balloons for flight, which is really fun just to be able to use. You know, it was when it first started and it was Tony Sarg being like, I don't know, I guess this much air, just put a bunch in it. Like, they let them go at the end of the parade and people used to like go and chase them for a reward, like get a fringe at Macy's. Like, we can't let them go at the end of the parade. I will say, I've done so much, like, we're creating an archive, we're doing so much research on the past 100 years that I know for a fact at some point Tony Sarg said, now that we're releasing these animals into the sky, the airplane folk can go hunt big game. Because he was basically like, you go at it, go hunt the big game in the sky. It's like one of the best quotes I've ever seen, because I'm just like, this is such an era that is gone and completely forgotten, that at some point the balloons were released into the sky. But for now, you know, we're very buttoned up. I might be wearing like a hoodie, but it's very serious. It's a very serious business of clowns and balloons.
Oh my gosh. You guys are basically running a temporary theme park every year, but you're doing it on public land. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, inclusive of the fireworks show. I mean, that's...
Yes, and it's just one of the events Macy's does.
That's just one of them. Then, you know, then it's like, I truly just got through, you know, 50,000 fresh cut florals in Macy's Herald Square and figuring out that design. I could talk about that story forever. Like, nothing's too small or too big. It's very overwhelming in that when you stop to think about how much joy you bring to like the littlest kid or the oldest parent or whatever, it's magic that Macy's is creating, that it's cool that I even get to be a part of and get to work with 50 plus artisans that are like engineers, concept artists, sculptors, carpenters, welders. The balloon team in and of itself is like a magical thing. The costume team, the operations team. They're like, there's so many people that come together to create this thing that people are like, oh, it's gone. Oh, it happens. Or they just like, it'll just show up. Like, it'll be rain or shine, right? Like,
yep.
For 100 years, like, you're gonna be there, right? Like, you're gonna have a parade. Like, yeah, we're gonna have a parade. Like, whatever it takes. And like, at some point, we'll do whatever it takes to make sure you're having a good time and that you can like kind of forget that we're around. You know, it's like cooking in the background or whatever on your Thanksgiving day, or maybe you just look up at the screen and you're like, is that Lil Jon? Is Lil Jon on a Toys R Us? Is that Jeffrey from Toys R Us turned down for what? And then just wrap it up in a bow and then maybe like, boof, we're gone. Back for a firework, back for a flapper toe, back for who knows what in the future.
This is exactly why I wanted to speak to you. And I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, because again, I just feel like we are not yelling about how great Macy's is enough. It is crazy that this many people are working this hard on something that we're like, oh yeah, it's big balloon time. Like, we really need to be talking about how incredible Macy's is for putting this much effort and time and money and power and work behind something so magical and delightful and whimsical. And I want to thank you and your team and everyone you work with for everything that you create, just so that we can feel joy on a holiday.
Wow. I want to thank you for what you do. I think honestly, talking to all these, no, for real, I think talking to all these folks that create all this stuff, we're really just off in a corner, just hoping somebody one day like cracks a smile. So it's very cool that you talk about it and that people listen or want to think about it even for a moment, and then maybe go back to their regular scheduled yoga plan or whatever.
I think over on this end, it's more us, our regularly scheduled puppetry plans mostly.
Oh, hey, I'm here for puppetry.
We are theme park people through and through.
Yeah. Or a churro or a Dole Whip.
Or a Muppet. Well, thank you so much. I could speak to you for 400 hours, but I know you have magic to create. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was exceptional.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back, Becky.
I just woke up from my 2-second nap. It's great.
Guys, I let her rest for a few moments, and then I was like, we need to resurrect her. There's Disney discounts, and we got to talk about it.
If you are a Disney Plus subscriber, they have a little perk for you. It does require 2-night minimum stay, which isn't a problem
in
Disney World, right?
Which is very low.
Exactly. Valid most nights, June 21st to August 15th. Prices per night for room only, as low as All-Star Sports in a standard room, $99 a night.
These are prices that I remember, Becky, from when I booked my bachelorette party 11 years ago.
Years ago.
11 years ago.
Port Orleans Riverside is $169 in a standard room. Art of Animation in a Cars Family Suite, are you sitting down? $249. Mm-hmm. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Savannah View, $369 a night plus.
Do you know how much money I've paid for that view? It is not
a lot more than that.
It is not under $400, I can tell you that.
No, these are restricted just to these resorts and just these views, and they are going to go quickly. So if it's something you really are interested in and you're a Disney Plus subscriber, give us a call, let us know. We'll be happy to see if we can find these for you. But we have not seen these rates this low in years and years and years. On top of that, they still have their Get a Free Dining Plan rolling. So if the room rate was enough to get you there, you can purchase a non-discount minimum 4-night, 4-day package that includes room and ticket with Park Hopper, and get that free dining plan if you book by April 30th. So that one's going to come up on us pretty quickly if they don't extend it. And it's for most stays June 28th to December 21st. So it goes for the rest of the year. There's some blockout dates in there, obviously, for the holidays, but it does cover a lot of space for you. And if that doesn't appeal to you, they do have the save up to 30% off rooms for late summer and early fall, 30% from July 30th to October 3rd, with the Florida residents saving up to 35% and pass holders saving up to 40%. But wait, there's more. You don't want to go to Disney World. Don't worry. We got you. Alani is there. And they've come up with a new date for their save up to 25% rate for 5 or more nights and 20% off four consecutive nights, and that's most nights August 9th to October 18th if you book by September 27th. Last but not least, because of course there's always something at Disneyland.
Always.
Our home park. Mm-hmm. Save up to 25% on select Disneyland Resort hotels, May 22nd to September 7th. Wow. And it is for the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel. But that has to be completed by September 8th. So right now, if you want to experience Disney in many of its forms, there's an offer for you.
Incredible. And don't forget, guys, $50 kids tickets at Disneyland this summer. So yeah. you literally use your savings on tickets for young children or children, any children, older children, all of them,
all the children
in your family. And oh, and mine just ran through the house. It's like she knew that it was possible for us to go to Disneyland. Thank you so much, Becky. These are amazing. And I'm so glad to be able to share them.
Well, thank you for having me as usual. I love sharing these details. And of course, for those who want to look at the cruises and say you're listening to us right now and it's midnight, just go to bookmeicruise.com and you can pull up all the Disney cruises there as well.
Oh, you're the best.
See ya.
Hi, Carly. This is Lindsay. This is like my third time calling because I went on so long about Dolly Parton that I got cut off, and that's embarrassing, but I'm going to persevere. You say you only listened to the last one, so hopefully that is the case. I have a question for you, but I did want to say I was really excited about your Dollywood episode. I'm a native Tennessean, and I'm many times over Dollywood season pass holder, so I was really thrilled to hear your take. You were absolutely correct. Lightning Rod is the best and totally unhinged. And cinnamon bread should be our state pastry if that were a thing. I swear to Dolly, this was not planned, but I turned on the latest episode while wearing one of my Dolly Parton t-shirts and on the way to axe throwing with girlfriends, which is just a very pigeon-forged thing to do, I feel like. You've been there, so you know now. But I just wanted to say Dolly is the patron saint of Tennessee. I love her. We all love her. She can do no wrong in my eyes. She is just a wonderful human being. So I'm going to step off my Dolly soapbox so I don't get cut off before my actual Disney question again. I am planning a trip to LA and Disneyland, of course, with my husband for his 40th birthday in July. This is my first time to LA, so I'm re-listening to your LA episode. But if there's anything going on mid-July that we shouldn't miss, please let me know. I know July is not ideal because of the heat, but I can't help when the man was born. I'm a Disney World girly, former CP. Shout out and RIP to MGM's Pizza Planet. It is not wrap pizza. It was and always will be Little Green Men pizza. So I'm pretty familiar with Disney World, but have obviously never been to Disneyland. I just really re-listened to the Disneyland Guide episode, but I have a specific question. We'll be at the park, we at Disneyland, on his actual birthday, and I was just wondering if there's anything you might recommend to make that day a little more special, aside from the obvious birthday button. We're willing to spend a little, too, but cheap and free is good. Also, he's a big fan of Star Wars and Marvel, but just loves the parks in general. So if you have any ideas, please let me know, and thank you in advance. And I don't think I got cut off this time, so maybe you can use this. Yay! Bye!
Hi! Thank you so much for your call. Axe throwing? Just casually axe throwing? I personally don't, like, I have no upper body strength, so I would never be able to have, like, a fun night out that involved throwing things because I'd be tired after the first one. I can barely even like bowl or play video games. My upper body is just so tired. I'm so weak, but I'm very amazed by you. That's pretty freaking cool. Now I gotta tell you, your call, this really stumped me because at first, usually when I get a question like this, I immediately have like 2 to 3 things that I just already know, like, oh, that's some good advice. I'll send that your way. I was coming up empty, which rarely happens, which is what makes this such a great question. Because a lot of people go to Disneyland for a birthday and they want to make it more special. And I can't believe that there isn't a go-to hit list of stuff. But now there is, because I'm going to give you some options. Now, you always have the official things you can do to like spend a little extra at the parks and go above and beyond. You can do one of their special tours, not a VIP tour, but like the 70th tour or the railroad tour. You can find those on the website, but just check the dates and availability because it just depends on when you're going and if it fits your schedule. You can also surprise your spouse with a restaurant reservation. The go-to suggestion would be Napa Rose to like really blow it out and spend a ton of money and have a nice, elegant dinner. But I actually am going to recommend you book Blue Bayou. It is very special and a little romantic, I think, because you are inside the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. But for Disney World people, that one is especially so cool because that's something you do not have at the Florida parks. Just be sure to be on top of when that booking opens because those things tend to go quick. If you wanted to bring with a special little surprise for the day, I would definitely head to Etsy. And you can get something, if it depends really on what your husband is into, or for anyone listening to this, what the birthday person is really into. Because a lot of times, for myself included, I like to do fun stuff on my birthday, but I don't always like the birthday attention. Like, I don't want to be looked at. So I just want to give you some options beyond this in case. But if your husband would maybe be down with wearing like a custom button, maybe like a hat, definitely look on Etsy because there's tons of stuff like that. But if this was a friend of mine or someone in my family, I would also maybe consider, I can't even say husband because my husband would, first of all, never go to Disneyland on his birthday. So I can't even like make the jump. But I would, actually, he did go to Disney World once on his birthday. I fooled him into it, like 10 years ago. And then that ship sailed. Now he's like, no, I'm spending my birthday at home. Anyway, a tangent. I would maybe even consider getting on Etsy a embroidered baseball hat with a silly phrase to celebrate the day. Maybe there's something you guys have like a joke about that's birthday related. Maybe you can make a pun. Maybe you'd be like, it's my birthday. Feed me Dole Whips. Something like that. You can get that made easily on Etsy. There's a ton of people who do that. And that might be a fun thing if they are into people knowing it's their birthday. Now, I am going to assume you're staying in the area that night. So one thing I would absolutely do, especially because I am finding it tricky to do like find things within the park that are really going to help boost your trip and make it more special, I would schedule a delivery in advance or try to wake up really early if that's not an option to get a special coffee, bagel, breakfast, just some sort of treat surprise to start the day off with. I think that is so fun because it's like really like, oh, it's like kickstarting the birthday and it kind of frames the rest of the day through this, oh, what's going to happen type of lens. If you Google around, there are truly like 10 bajillion posts about good coffee and good breakfasts in the area. I drive from pretty far, so I'm never really out in Anaheim getting something on the way to the parks. That's just sadly because I don't live nearby. That's something I'm not able to do. But there are a lot of resources out there and truly like 4 bajillion TikToks about cool coffees that you can find in the area. I just feel like having a little treat to kick off the day is really nice, and it's an easy, affordable way to make the day more special. And last but not least, I wanted to mirror that on the end of your day. You can always like get a cake delivered. You can always get cupcakes from somewhere. But I thought it'd actually be easier to just surprise him because, you know, if you're Disney World people, maybe you don't. You spend a lot of time at the Disneyland Hotel and it's very special. And there's this place called Tangaroa Terrace, which is attached to Trader Sam's. And Tangaroa Terrace is like a quick service restaurant, but they also have Dole Whip and Dole Whip floats. Now, here's the rub though. Tangaroa Terrace has always had Dole Whip. It's a thing. It's even if you go to the website right now, because I just did and I looked at it many, many times to make sure my eyes weren't deceiving me, the website calls out Dole Whip. On the Tangaroa Terrace Tropical Bar and Grill Disneyland Hotel website, it says, praise the tiki gods. That's good copywriting. Praise the tiki gods for a variety of drinks you can get to go for your day's journey. Espresso, freshly brewed coffees, and Dole Whip floats. Guests age 21 or older can even add a splash of rum to their float. Like, it is called out on the front page. But when you look at the menu, it currently doesn't say Dole Whip. I'm going to make the leap and assume it is there. I will try to find out before, just to confirm. I don't know if I will because my trips to Disneyland have been so scattered. When I'm there, it's just like, there's just like other stuff I'm doing and I forget all of my to-do lists. But that would be a really fun post-park dessert treat or even a midday break. It's like, we're going somewhere, but you don't know where. That would be really nice. Just like get a Dole Whip and chill out there, whether or not you choose to go to Trader Sam's. Now, Trader Sam's is also a wonderful place to go. They're going to be under refurbishment in the interior over the summer. There's not an announced end date for that. So it may be trickier to get a reservation. Again, that's something you can just be on top of. You won't have the indoor experience, most likely, depending on when in July you're going and when they reopen, etc. But you can still sit outside just like you can at Tangaroa Terrace and you can enjoy stuff. And it's really, really lovely. That would just be like a fun little, a little hotel surprise if you're into it. I hope that's helpful. Again, I can't believe how tricky it is to have little special surprises, but I hope I've given you enough where like between a hat, a fun festive coffee, and a little sweet treat, there is enough to celebrate there. I hope you have a wonderful trip. And yeah, lightning rod forever. That ride was so good. That's our show. Thank you all so much for listening. And thank you to our special guest, Brendan Kennedy. Also, thank you to the entire team at Macy's for being so down to just peel back the curtain on all of their incredible projects and let Brendan and I talk so freely about what they do. I don't think it would have been the same way at a different company. And I love that they're like, yeah, we can just talk about how we make these productions happen candidly. And I am so grateful to them for letting us do this. You can follow Brendan. Great follow, by the way. Incredible follow, especially if you're at all into knitting, which I know many of you are, at Waywaw on Instagram and Threads. That is spelled W-A-Y-W-A-W. You can rate, review, and follow Very Amusing on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify, where you can also leave comments. And I really don't know how to access them, but I can see them. It's tricky to respond, I think. I'm not good at that. Call me on the churros hotline. It's just easier that way. But also leave it there, because then other people can see it, but like, also call me on the churros hotline. Which you can do at 747-CHURROS. Please give us a call. We've been getting a lot of text messages lately, which are great, but also I can't. A lot of times I try to play churros calls that I think will also help other people. Like if someone, for example, this week asking if there's anything special they can do for a birthday at Disneyland, that's often helpful for everyone to listen to. So I just like to, you know, if you send a text message, then I'm like, then other people can't, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I'm talking in circles because I'm just distracted by the fact that I think you can hear my bracelet and I should have taken it off, but I didn't want to take off my hot dog because it was so hard to get on. Anyway, give us a call at 747-CHURROS. If you have to text us, that's fine. If you want to send a voice note, it's a little complicated because then it's an extra step, but it's fine. Do that. And I love to see your calls. We might end up doing a churros call episode in a few weeks when I have jury duty. I got to tell you, ever since that series Jury Duty dropped, it is fun to be like, oh yeah, James Marsden could be on jury duty with me because I live in Los Angeles. Very funny. I hope I see someone as handsome and who's a star like James Marsden. Okay, I clearly can't focus today, but yeah, love a celebrity sighting, especially if it is happening while I'm on jury duty. TBD on that. Wait, if you see a celebrity, because you know you like can't talk about anything that happens on a trial, but if you see someone at jury duty, can you talk about it? I guess we'll find out either way. Anyway, churros hotline episode probably coming when I am at jury duty. So if you have a call, get it in. Call it in so that I can make sure I answer it in time. You can book your trip with MEI Mouseman Travel, and let me tell you, you should. If you're booking a cruise, they'll tell you which is not all cabins are created equal. Not all cabins are created equal, and they will tell you exactly which cabin is best for you. There are also, if you listen to our segments with Becky, too many deals out there. I never thought we'd be at a time where it's like just the entire galaxy. That's what it was like. The galaxy of discounts is so vast and wide that you actually need a discount professional to help you sort through it and find the best rate possible. So head to mousefantravel.com/amusing. For all your needs, like truly Disney, Universal, cruises. They always have these like Norwegian cruise discounts, all these Royal Caribbean, so many things that you got to check out. They will quote things for free. It's not like you have to like fully give them all your information, like pay them and then they'll help you. No. You can truly email them, hit them up and be like, hey, just wondering what's the cheapest rate I can get for XYZ? And they will let you know. And with all the free dining and the discounts, especially at Disney World, you gotta be hitting them up. MouseManTravel.com/amusing. I use them for all of my booking needs and I recommend you do too. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. Join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel and subscribe to my Instagram at Carly Wiesel. And I pray with every fiber of my being that the subscriber video issue is solved by then. I have a workaround. I think I will be using it in full by then, but just, you know, it's more convenient to do things on one phone instead of two phones, especially when I don't have a corporate job. My whole life is internet. I just only need one phone. That's all I need. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hi, honey. I didn't like the way my voice sounded. So it was very muffled and echoey. So I bought this fuzzy little thing that's a cordless microphone. And I'm trying it out because I see it all over Instagram. So I thought maybe it'll sound good. So anyway, I love a gab session. I love it. Universal Studios sounds like so much fun. I love the Scooby Dooby and the Frankenstein interaction. So fun. We had our own Frankenstein interaction, but I won't get into that. It's so great going to these events and seeing people that you know and you have become friends with. It's great. And you have met so many people and they're all so fun and so great. And your friends and I that I have met are so great. They're the best. I love media family events. Of course, I'm available at all times. Yes, and I love that I give you so much of my jewelry because it makes me happy to see you wear everything and sometimes all at once, but it looks great on you. You have such great style, and I was like, why didn't I think of putting those two bracelets together? Anyway, you are amazing, and I'm so proud of you starting med. It's a tough decision, but you need to feel better. And I had a very hard time starting some, and it's much better than I did, and so I hope you'll be fine on that. And I'm so proud of you. Going to finally making it to Dollywood, that is like the greatest. You persevered, you went, you took your 6 hours to get there. But as you said, Brandon is a dream come true, and I'm lucky enough to be on his private feed. We have a special, special love for one another. He's one of your best friends, but Brandon is like a son. We hug for 5 and 10 minutes. We jump up and down when we see each other. It's so great. He's so special. And same. I'm so sorry I gave you my ADHD. I think it's hereditary because I check for weeks before I go to make sure I have everything, and it's really a big stressor. Getting it in the suitcase and putting it in a bigger suitcase, it's just, it's crazy. Things I like and dislike, like you said, I get you. And I can't believe you said a pharmacy situation because that happened to me with Dad last week. We walked into Schmalgreens and we were first in line, and there was a woman in front of me with the employee helping her. And after a minute or so, she looks up, she says, really curtly, it's 11:01, we're closed. What? The gate wasn't even pulled. You know how they pull the gate to make sure nobody can get in? I was already inside the gate. So that, I didn't handle that very well. So I probably need to talk to you how to handle things. But I love you so much. This was a great episode. It was so much fun. And I just want to say that what you were talking about with the sky, what is it, the Skyliner? Yeah. It is frightening to go backwards out of that because you don't know, especially if you're old and you're scared. So anyways, I usually take Carl and you get that bad job. So I'm really sorry, but there's got to be a better situation.